Call to order the regular improvements committee for August 2nd, 2022. First, to consider finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees, and the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to government code. Are there any objections to that finding?
None.
Hearing none, we will move on to comments from the public. Amelia, any hands raised?
I don't have any hands raised, no.
All right. Monthly update, Michael.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Just to let you know, I have Travis Bohannon with me, just sitting in on the meeting. So if there's any particular questions, he'll be available for that. Moving on with our projects. Our water treatment facility, sodium hypochlorite conversion. There's going to be a meeting to review design alternatives and then an alternatives analysis coming up on the 10th of August. I've sent Marty an invitation if he's interested in joining that meeting. Let's see, our recycled water disinfection project, we have sent out our second RFP, and I believe there's some interest there, additional interest more than there was last time when we only received one response. I've talked to a few additional engineering firms, and I think we will get more of a response. Grandley's safety improvements, I spoke with HDR, and they're still waiting on some of the cultural resources information and some mechanical cost updates. And once they get those two pieces of information, they'll be able to wrap up their initial plan and we can move forward with an RFP for design. I have put together a brief work plan to address how we're going to move forward with the capital projects that we have addressed for this current fiscal year. That's attached for your information. Stormwater, Laguna Joaquin, there's no real update. There is an integrated pest management plan that apparently we had issued to the regional board, water board, and I had reached, this was before my time. They came back and said there were some deficiencies in the plan, and they advised that we move forward with their template, which I took their template and made it ours. I'm going to move that forward as a resolution the next to be adopted by the board. This just covers anytime we use pesticides, it's our own internal rules. I don't believe we use pesticides anymore, and I don't have any plan on using pesticides, but having this plan available is a requirement of the state, and so we have to have something in place. So I've attached that to this report as well. So our storm channel area weeding is somewhat behind this year. We've had trouble finding people to come work weed eaters for us, and our crew has been very busy with water leaks. We were able to find a goat herder to bring in two herds for a total of 30 days for about $12,000. We're hoping that there's going to be some assistance, monetary assistance from RMA, because some of what the goats will be munching down is partially their responsibility. So we're going to find out if the board has okayed some cost sharing with this. Tom Henning has told me to move forward with a contract for those two herds so we can get that area eaten down. And I think it'll be a good trial to see if goat herding works for us in subsequent years. I think there's probably some money saved if we can start looking for herds in early spring, instead of, waiting till the summer. But if we know that we're going to potentially use goat herds for keeping the weeds down. We'll definitely procure a contract earlier in the year. From what I understand, the goats do a very good job at making things fireproof. Not only do they eat the weeds, but they also eat any low-hanging bushes and parts of trees.
Do we have a date for when this is going to happen, Michael?
I want this to happen ASAP. I think, if I remember correctly, Ron said we could be contracting in mid-August.
So September, the herds will show up in September?
My hope is that they show up in mid-August.
Oh, okay.
But we need to move forward with the contract to make that happen.
Where's the first place you'd put them?
You know, I'm not sure where they would start, but there's going to be like a little temporary fence. And I think they just kind of move the little fence along the way. We were going to have, Tom was going to have a supply, a GIS polygon to show where the goats were feeding, but it was going to be too expensive. It didn't make sense to make that graphic. But I can find out that information, Marty, get that to you if you'd like.
I'm just curious if it's a big area, a small area, or what it is.
It's like averages about a 20-foot wide section all along our drainage channels.
Okay. Did the goat herder tell you they could actually do it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they said two herds would do the job. I don't know how fast that happens.
Okay.
So I'm curious to see how this works. You know, and if we really like it, we could potentially look into having our own herd and getting some temporary fence if it makes sense. I'm not sure quite where we would keep them, but we do have some spots where we could. But I want to see how this works. And maybe this is a solution that we use year round that's not subject to the labor market as much.
Okay.
Moving on to our sewer. Lift Station 6A is currently still operating with the temporary installed emergency pump. We have received the three-phase replacement pumps and replacement PFDs, and we'll be scheduling installation soon. Do you have any more information on that, Travis?
No, Jeremy's the one, he's got one of the VFDs, the other one's about 10 weeks out, so we'll be getting one of them put in.
Okay.
And then we'll be leaving the VFD on the other one if it works out that way. A lot of it's just going to depend on how the installation goes. So we're just waiting at this point for him to get that one VFD that's on the shelf someplace locally. We've already sent the purchase order. We just sent the purchase order to him last week to give him the okay. So he's moving forward on getting the other one ordered.
Everybody here, Travis, okay?
Sure.
Yep.
All right, on to Lift Station 3B, we recently lost a pump and we repaired that single phase pump and then the volute was cracked. So we fortunately had a volute on the shelf from another pump that was able to fit. And so that's back in there. So now we have our redundancy. We're in the process of getting quotes for replacement pumps and replacement VFDs so we can move and update this station to three phase, which will be much more redundant. And also we'll have some additional capacity because the pump station was originally designed just to satisfy the flow from what, 8-10 houses. Yeah. And then we later, when we added the membrane facility at the water treatment plant, that station gets all the water when we do a maintenance clean to our membranes. And so that's a lot more flow than was originally designed. So the new configuration, which was budgeted for, will satisfy that and get the old single phase pumps out of there. So we're still waiting on a quote for the replacement pumps. And we have received a quote for the VFD. And once we get those, once we get the replacement pump quote, we'll move forward with ordering that. And it, and those pumps are probably, you know, like anything in the other pump, 12 to 16 weeks out at least. So
can I?
Yeah, go ahead, Travis. Travis wanted to add something.
So the way where we're currently at on 3B, the pump that we had replaced or that we had rebuilt still is not pumping 100% because the impeller, which you can't get anymore, is not brand new. It's worn down. So it is actually, whenever that pumps down, it does take both pumps to pump that lift station down.
Right.
And so we are currently only doing one clean a night when we should be doing three. So at the water plant, so that's going to start in, that's going to start creating our problems there. But the pumps that are currently in there, the single phase ones, they will run about 5 hours a day.
That's
to
a
be
lot.
Able to meet that the pump down of that one of just that one clean and then the regular influent from the houses. And that's about 4.5 hours more than what they should be running. And since they both have to run at the same time and they're single phase, they do have a tendency to heat up. One of the things that I'm looking at, and I'm waiting for Fred from Pack Machine to get back to me with a quote, is a backup just in case one of those pumps do go out. We can set up a bypass with a temporary pump that can just be installed. It's just a standalone pump, and we would do a bypass on the outside into another chamber.
If worse comes to worse,
yeah. Because with both of those pumps having to run 5 hours a day just to meet minimum, they're not going to last long.
I told Travis we'll move swiftly.
Yeah. That's good. So I just kind of wanted to let you know how it's currently running at this time.
Well, I'll certainly flushless at my house if it helps. do we have we had talked about these new pumps and how hard they are to get. Have we gotten any further on figuring out a possible time frame for replacement?
So Jay from Kirby Pump was going to be getting that for us over the weekend and yesterday, but because of the fires up in Northern California, he spent the weekend in his property cutting fire break so he wouldn't lose his house. I spoke to him last night, and he's going to be up there for a good part of this week. So we're looking at, I probably won't get any information from him on the pumps until probably the first of next week.
He's our local flight dealer.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, I know Jay.
Yeah. So it's, as it sits right now, it's to be determined as to, you know, what the cost is going to be, and then whether they're in the United States or if we have to get them from Sweden.
You know, and the pumps from 6A, I believe it costs us an extra $900 to have them air freighted.
Right.
Over net saved, I don't know, probably a few weeks.
Yeah, they actually saved based on their time frame, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
So that is an option. Once we get the cost and find out where they're at, is an option that I will be talking with Michael about, you know, to get them here quicker. We have to do the work to find out which ones we need and where they're at that point. So
this upgrade will make this station much more resilient.
This we won't have to, this would be like when we upgraded Cantoba. We haven't even touched Cantoba in 4 years since we did the upgrade.
Other than maintenance, right?
Other than regular maintenance. Thank you. Sorry, I apologize. Yeah. But with the pumps and stuff, we haven't had any issues. So it'll make it a lot stronger.
Very good.
All right. Moving on to the Lake Leven recycled water spill prevention design. That contract has been awarded. Our engineer is in the process of completing that design. I have a meeting with, go ahead. Is there a question?
No.
I've got a meeting set up with Marty, and we're going to discuss some of the design alternatives and then provide the engineer with some additional direction. We are getting ready to send out an RFP for an update of the District Integrated Water Master Plan. We have not updated our master plan since, I believe, 2016. So it's time for an update. In addition, we're going to request that the consultant also put in the relevant information required to bring this plan up to the level where it could be utilized for use as an urban water management plan, which will be a future requirement of the district once we receive that magic number of 3,000 connections. Currently, I think we're 200 or 300 connections shy of that mark. So if we're gonna do and go through this effort, it may make sense to spend the additional capital to bring it up to urban water management plan requirements. This will be the basis for, or the background that we're gonna need for the water supply assessment that we'll probably be doing soon. Per general manager's request, we're investigating filing what is termed as a minor change to the district water permit. That's our main water right, fills up our reservoirs, to allow the district to provide potable or non-potable water to the Sacramento Tree Foundation, just outside the Deer Creek Hills area where they're doing a tree planting. Currently, it's forbidden for the district to utilize water from this permit outside of the district boundary. I'm making sure with our water rights expert that, you know, we don't take unnecessary risks opening up this permit to a minor change if there could potentially be additional regulatory requirements placed on us once the permit's open. So we're approaching this very carefully. And first we're having our water rights expert reach out to the state to get a sense of what would occur if we do reopen this permit and is it really worth the risk. Moving on to our Rio Oso pump replacement update. The pumps were scheduled for replacement last fiscal year. We have received the new pumps, but we're still waiting on the new flex couplers. We want to put in all new stuff when we go through this effort. Those flex couplers are expected to come in around August 12th. That's the newest schedule. We have received a quote for about $53,000 for the variable frequency drive replacement on both pumps. It's been stated to us that the two VFDs for the Rioso pumps have surpassed the useful life by about 5 years. And it would be wise to replace those VFDs sooner than later. We have money set aside for that in the capital improvements plan. After receiving the flex couplers, we'll move forward with the pump replacement. Regardless of where we are with the VFDs, we're going to replace both pumps. And at that point, when the VFDs come in, should be approved, we'll move forward with replacing those VFDs. And at that point, after the pump replacement, we're going to take a look at investigating future modifications to the station to address the permanent pump housing, piping modifications needed for being able to better work on the pump station without having to shut down the tank or the system. Take a look at pressure absorption. We took our our large hydrogenmatic tank out. I forget what year that happened. That was absorbing a lot of on-off pressure. And also take a look at a third jockey pump for those low flow times where we don't need the larger pumps. Also, I wanted to give the improvements committee a heads up that if we do decide to move forward with the variable frequency drives, our vendor is requiring prepayment for the VFDs. And I know that's something we typically don't do, but that's something we'll have to discuss when the time comes.
Does that mean to place the order or to pay when they arrive?
What Jeremy's asking us is that as soon as he places the order, and because he's going to be paying for them up front, and that's a significant amount of money out of his pocket. Mm-hmm. It's not the whole $53,000. It's just the cost of the VFDs, which I think they were like $16,000 each. He's asking that as soon as
$32,000.
Right. He's asking that as soon as he orders them, is if he can bill us for the VFDs. Prodigy Electric's been our contract electrician for over 20 years here. So I know that this particular request is a little out of order, but I have no fear of him not, just taking our money and leaving. He's been with us for all that time. He's just requesting because he is a small business that's a significant amount of capital that he has to put out.
Okay, thanks.
All right, moving on to the water treatment facility. Both facility 1 and 2 are in operation, currently producing water at a rate of about 2.75 MGD. We haven't really been hampered by any additional manganese this summer. Travis is knocking on wood. For water conservation, we did put out that, you know, if there was a voluntary 20% reduction, should people choose to do so. We have ordered, and it was budgeted for, we have ordered 500 hydrometers and 2,000 toilet dye kits that will be advertised as free to ratepayers and available at the district office once those come in. For reservoirs, we did the green clean treatment at Clementia. That was done at 726. Chesbro was treated with Sea Clear for algae. Oh, that hasn't happened yet?
They brought a gas motor with their boat, and okay. So we had to reschedule that.
Okay, they've got to come back with an electric motor for that. So that is going to happen on Chesbro. Also, the folks that Adkins Engineering that provided the survey of Calero has, at the request, I believe, of one of the board members, provided 2 quotes to perform that same survey and updated stage storage curve for both Chesbro and Clementia. The quotes are $18,000 to do Chesbro, $22,000 to do Clementia. This, as I mentioned, the survey would also provide updated stage storage curve. So want to get some direction for the committee on, do we want to just say, hey, thanks for the quote, or do we want to move forward with those proposals?
What do we pay for Calero?
I think it was about, if I remember correctly, $14,000 or $15,000. And they did a little bit of, I can get you that exact number. I don't have it in front of me. Mm-hmm. It was less than these. And they learned that they ate a lot of profit on that last survey. Mm-hmm. I did get several quotes when we did Calero. So what I can do is reach out to those other organizations, mm-hmm. and try to get some competing quotes for those reservoirs if the improvements committee is interested in moving forward in resurveying our other two reservoirs.
Which one's the most important?
Did someone say something?
I didn't. Which one is the most important?
Well, they're all pretty important, but we out of Clementia and Chesbro?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to make that political guess, but I would say that Chesbro is probably, somewhat important because it's connected with our, directly connected with our treatment for our potable water.
That's what I would think. But
Clementia is also important because Clementia, is our backup.
Yeah.
So
would you like reach out to Solitude or somebody else like that?
Yeah, Solitude was one of the other people that gave me quotes. And then there was another company that I got a quote from. So what I would plan to do if the improvements committee is interested in doing these other reservoirs is I'll reach out and get additional quotes from those firms and then bring that back. At this point, I think, the reservoirs are starting to go down. It may make more sense to potentially do this in the spring. Although Chesbro we can control. Chesbro we could get this year if we wanted to, because we have a better control over that water. It's easier to do the survey when you have a fuller reservoir. Yeah, go ahead, Travis. Travis wants to say something.
Just real quick, when we did the survey for Calera, we found out that that doesn't hold as much water as we thought it did.
Right.
And so I'm thinking that at least we should at least do Chesbro, because if Calera if Calera wasn't holding as much water as we thought, we might want to make sure we have an accurate reading for Chesbro. So that way, at least the two reservoirs that we use for water storage, we would have accurate amounts that we would have in there. Just a thought, but I was thinking, those two would be important to know our amounts more than Clementia.
Well, I think, if they wanted to do all three, we could potentially do Clementia in the spring, once it's full again, to make that an easier survey. We could get Chesbro anytime because we can just fill Chesbro up to the top to do the survey.
Okay. I just thought those two would be important for more accurate amounts of water that we have available.
Yeah,
I think I agree with that. My initial thought was this is a lot of money and I don't think Clementia is that important, but based on what we found at Calera, we should at the very least do Chesbro. So I think that the direction here, Michael, is to go ahead and get those other prices, and we'll take a look at them and make a final decision when we see that.
Okay. And the other thing I could do, Randy, is I could get two more quotes and then take the lowest one and just bring it to the board for approval at the next meeting.
Just for Chesbro?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good with that. Marty?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay, that'll save us a little time.
On the paragraph right above that, what is recycled water reservoir 2?
That's a storage reservoir here at the wastewater plant that we store the water in during the winter that's held for treatment. When we had our annual inspection from the state, Reservoir 2 had duckweed in it, and they said that's a big no-no, and so we had the treatment for the duckweed done on that. That is a reoccurring thing every year, but that's what Reservoir 2 is. It's a storage reservoir at the wastewater plant.
The duckweed really isn't hurting anything. It's more of a
aesthetic thing.
Aesthetic state requirement.
Right. And so, but that's why we did that. That was what was instructed to us off of our inspection.
Okay. Thank you.
Moving on to site development, Riverview, the developer is working on the crossing at Bird Loop. installing the head walls for the 36 and 24 inch outlets. Framing has commenced on the model homes in Mamba Court. At retreats, all the water and sewer mains have been installed. The district has met with the developer a few times regarding the separation of the east and the north, the model homes in the north. Houses on the east are being framed. We met with the developer yesterday and discussed some of the initial pre-punch list items that need to occur. And then after those items have been completed, we'll develop a punch list for the east and work with the developer on getting that completed. Circle K shell and oil water separator has been installed on site, being plumbed in. Myriad of Gardens Lot 2, Tractor Supply, there's no update.
I have an update.
Oh, you got an update for us, John?
Yeah, Veer Camp, I think, has been contracted by Patterson, the CalGold team, to start the work on the 15th of August.
Okay, that's good to know. The Marietta Gardens Lot 12 and Lot 10, district construction team has provided comments to the district engineer from the submitted design plans, and I believe the district engineer will be submitting those comments shortly back to the developer. So that concludes my report, if there's any questions.
And John Sullivan, you have your hand raised. Was that what you wanted to say, or did you want to comment on something else?
No, I wanted to ask a couple questions.
Are you prepared to have a comment, Randy?
The 20% of savings, voluntary savings, is that, is there a number of acre feet that that's based on? And then, and then do we have an actual customer headcount or customer count that we consider to be the number that takes us to the 3,000? I mean, is that like, are we at 2,700 or some other number? I mean, I don't,
you know, last I've been told it was around 2,700.
Okay. And then my third question is, Tom had said that you guys were meeting with the water rights attorney a week or so ago. And I just want to know if there was anything that came out of that that might be important to disseminate to the improvements committee or the board or the other rights holders that you learned from that meeting.
No, we have not met with the water rights attorney. Tom may have, but I have not met with the water rights attorney. I have met with the water rights expert, and that was just, to discuss this minor permit change. Yeah. Tom has been asking about, can we get a minor change in our, because Tom wants to be able to provide some water to the Sacramento Chief Foundation.
He asked me if we would allow water trucks to be loaded at the equestrian center, and I said absolutely no problem as long as you get it cleared that we don't have a problem using that water, whatever water that is, if it's district's sold water, if it's diverted water, whatever the approval is, once you have it, we would certainly let you use that loading station at the equestrian center for loading their water trucks.
That's a tough one because the equestrian center is that the riparian right water that you're
speaking of? No, I was saying once you get whatever cleared.
Oh yeah.
Once you get clearance to do it, that would be, you would certainly be allowed to load there.
Well, that's good to know, John. I think Tom has probably been in communication because I have not regarding that question.
I'm just surprised that you're not in those meetings, I guess.
Yeah, I was not in any meeting with the water rights attorney. So that may have been something that Tom had done. So TBD, I guess, until I know any different.
Anything else, John?
No, those were my comments.
Marty, questions or comments on Michael's report?
Yeah, he gave us a plan for the capital improvement projects. Have we got the funding for all those figured out?
No, that's going to... Paula, are you in on this?
Would you like to scroll down, Michael, to look at that page?
I think Marty's asking primarily about the funding. And I think Paula can speak.
I'm sitting here.
It's on the agenda for the Finance Committee, but I guess that's a question for the Finance Committee then.
We're kind of getting our ducks in a row and waiting to spend the money, from what I understand, until the budget is passed. Is that correct, Paula?
Yes. We have to wait to have the budget pass at the August board meeting in order to have the appropriations to start spending those dollars.
Yeah, I think sometimes there's a misunderstanding. If you have a capital improvements plan, you can just go ahead and do projects if you passed the plan way back when.
Yeah.
But every year that money has to be appropriated into a budget in order to spend that money.
That's correct. Yes.
I have a similar question. Well, I got a couple questions about the capital improvements plan. And I think I know the answer to this, but this money that we're getting, SB 170 money, it all three projects, the money that's earmarked for an individual project has to be used for that project and can't cross over to another project on that list.
I think it can be to some extent.
We can't. We those three projects are dedicated funds from SB 170. So we can't repurpose those dollars. I think we can change the scope of the projects themselves, but we can't repurpose those dollars for other projects.
Oh, no. Yeah, I agree, Paula.
But other projects on the SB 170 list. So there's three projects. So each individual project stands alone and you can't cross funds between those three.
That's correct.
Okay.
I was under the impression that as long as the money was stayed within those three projects, we could. Not talking about money outside those, about projects outside those three projects. And I could be wrong, but I thought I remembered in some of those conversations that if, you know, as long as the money stays within those three projects, you can move money somewhat in between.
I think it's important that we get a definitive answer.
We can get clarification from them on that. I'll actually send her an email right now to get something definitive.
Okay, great. And that leads to my comment on these two projects that are on your work plan. The last sentence in each of them is in-house district CM observation when construction begins. We going to run out of money on each one, and we're not going to have enough money from SB 170 to do it. So it seems like what we're going to do here is we're going to take this thing out to bid and get those numbers. And once we get those numbers, I don't know that we go to construction or not. That's when a decision is going to have to be made, because it's all going to be about priorities, right?
Sure.
Okay. The only other question I had would be going back to the water conservation We've ordered some hydrometers and toilet dye kits. I'm not really clear on how, on what those are and how they're used for water conservation. Could you just do a quick little explanation of that?
Yeah. I was asked to order some of the water conservation kits, and I have experience with, EID gives out hydrometers, and what a hydrometer is you stick it in the soil, and it tells you if the soil is saturated, if it's lightly saturated, or if it's dry. So when you're setting your various zones for your sprinklers, for your drip irrigation for your plants, you can, you know, halfway through the day or whenever you stick the hydrometer and say, okay, is it dry or is it saturated? If it's like saturated, like, oh, I can turn back the amount of time that I water based on the hydrometer. So you can use the hydrometer to help set the timing for your watering, help be more efficient.
Okay.
The toilet dye kit is basically, it's just a couple of dye tabs. You put them in the tank of your toilet, and you don't flush, and you wait for, you know, several hours, and you see if there's any of the blue dye making its way into the bowl. If the bowl receives blue dye without the flush, then you know that there's a leak in your toilet and it's time to replace the toilet flap.
Oh, okay.
So those two implements could potentially save a significant amount of water if enough people use them.
Very good. Thank you. So monthly update, any other hands raised, Amelia?
No more hands raised.
So potential voluntary water restrictions. We don't have anything more to discuss on this, do we?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Let's move on then to discuss the emergency repairs to lift station 3B. We kind of covered all of that also,
didn't we? Yeah, that's completely covered.
Okay. Very good. We're on to item number 7, director and staff comments or suggestions. Staff, any comments or suggestions this morning?
I just want to thank Travis for sitting in on this meeting this morning. His information is very valuable to me.
Very good. Marty, anything? Comments or suggestions?
I don't have any, thanks.
I don't have any either. So that brings us to adjournment. Thank everyone for attending this morning, and have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.